Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Okay, hour number two, Tinky and Tierney coming to you live from the Quicken Loans Studios. National mortgage lender, Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently on this Thursday. Hey, is that the sun? Is that the sun?
It did come out today.
The sun's coming out, a little peekaboo. Of course, it couldn't be out this morning when I wanted to go and hit a couple of wedges. It has to come out when I got to go to work. Can I tell you here, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, we'll get back to these calls in a minute, 855-212-4227. So Sunday, we celebrated Mother's Day, right, obviously, early, and then Jen surprised her mom with a flight to Dallas.
Oh, cool.
With the kiddos.
Nice.
And the video was awesome. I mean, her mom was stunned. Her mom was in a restaurant. Just imagine, she had no concept that she was coming in. It was awesome, right? And which means, you know, I'm on my own for a couple of days here, which kind of sucks. I bought a gallon of milk last night, right? not only did I order sushi, There's no way I'm cooking anything right now, and because I can't even use the barbecue because it's pouring every day. So it's like sushi and, I don't know, shakes. I'm trying to actually eat healthy. And so I get a gallon of milk last night. I go to make a phone call. I put the milk on the counter. I also got a case of water. And I come back. There's milk everywhere.
There's milk everywhere. So it was cracked.
I guess it was cracked, right?
Oh, that's terrible.
But I think I cracked it because I was trying to be Superman with my book bag, with my laptop.
You don't want to make more than one trip.
I didn't want
to
make
that, that's a man thing to do. I do that with like my recycling.
Yeah.
We have like boxes. I start packing it all on top of each other.
I'll
make one trip. And I'm like straighted, like I'm deadlifting 400 pounds. I'm
I got this.
And then you end up dropping something.
Yeah, always.
It all comes unbound and it all goes all over the place.
I'll even stick stuff in my pockets, like to avoid the second trip. But so I, you got to see.
Why are guys idiots that do that?
I don't know.
And it's only like. It's like 100. It's not even 100. It's like 330 feet.
I don't know.
And you, that you is carry a good everything. Question. It's so stupid.
I don't know,
why
exactly
we do that. What you're doing.
But
I think
we all do
what
it.
You're talking about.
So now I'm like, oh man. I'm like, but oddly, like it's not like the gallon is half empty. It seems. Maybe this is one of these Yanni Laurel things where now it's now gone to the milk cart, and then that's like gonna mess with what you think you see or hear. And I look at the milk. I'm like. Oddly, it's still pretty much full. I'm like, let me get this in the refrigerator. So I put it in the refrigerator, right? About an hour, I went to go and grab the edamame that I didn't finish from the sushi meal. Now I see milk all over my refrigerator, right? But oddly, again, like this is the milk that just won't dissipate, except where I don't want it to go.
Yeah, exactly.
So, but the level's not really low. I said, to hell with this. I have to take a picture. I have to show this. We'll put it on TV tomorrow. I took this gallon. And I poured it in bowls and cups, and my refrigerator's empty because Jen is gone with the kids. So, kids, that you know, I don't. It's just totally different, you know, food dynamic now.
You don't have a pitcher, like a.
I couldn't find one. We have wine decanters. I'm not going to start dropping that.
See,
stuff.
That's the problem. Is that you don't know where anything is.
I don't know anything useful is. Yeah. I know where my scotch glass is. I know where the scotch is. I know where the barbecue is. I know where my golf clubs are. I know where the books are for the kids and everything else. There's got to be five cups, three bowls, and a little pot. Like, this is just, who the hell lives like this? And then I was thinking, man, it would
single, be. Single men.
I get, no, but single men have to be better than me at this point. I'm single for a day or two.
I'm not single,
I'm just alone.
It's probably significantly worse.
I don't know, because.
They probably don't even have milk.
Here's the one difference, though. If you are single. I'm sure you're trying to impress somebody, so you can't live like a slob.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know what? Let's check out with our, even though
D-Cell, you know you're getting dragged into this.
Well, of course, come on in. D-Cell's accounted for. Ward's accounted for as well. He's got a girl, not married. Neither guys are married yet. They're smart. No, I'm totally kidding.
Did you have milk in your house before? Wait, you're not living in.
No, they're not living together yet.
But did you have milk?
She hasn't roped him in with that yet. No. That's coming.
I have milk currently.
But there were points where the refrigerator was pretty
He's got a dead
bare.
Cow in the corner of the room. Go ahead, what?
There were points when I was totally single where the refrigerator would be pretty bare.
Are you serious?
Water,
yeah.
Beer.
Yeah. Maybe. A little leftover Chinese food or something, a slice
exactly.
of pizza.
You got to have the ketchup bottle, but right? This, the ketchup bottle a
ketchup
signals
bottle.
A bare fridge.
But this guy's kind of a workout warrior, so I'm going to guess that Ward's refrigerator is in a little bit better condition than that guy's.
Mm-hmm. Right? My refrigerator is great right now, but there is a drastic difference when my fiance's out of town for what I eat.
You know what I'm saying.
Yeah,
it
it's
just
either
changes.
You know, meal prep, chicken, rice, vegetables, or leftover Chinese food.
Yeah, I hear you. That's our plight. It is who we are. But I got to take a picture of this. I got to show you this.
I
sent this on a text message. It's ridiculous.
It's like it's going to go bad, even though it's in the fridge. It's going to go bad because it's all open.
But just the visual. I know. It's which it's not, but just the visual, too. It's strange. Mike is in Abilene, Texas. Mike is on Tiki and Tierney. Mike, what's going on, buddy? How are you today?
I'm doing well. My dudes, Tiki and Tierney.
What's
my
up,
dudes,
man?
Thank you for taking my call. First and foremost, you guys know I bring nothing but the hot fire. Let me go ahead and squash some of that crap that some of the other callers were saying.
Thank you,
LeBron
Mike.
LeBron James is overrated. You guys know me. I'm so biased. LeBron James is my dude. Every time I call, that's what I want to talk about. But I'm also a realist. He's definitely not overrated. He's definitely in the conversation of the GOAT.
But is he done?
I do not think he's done, but what I do believe, as someone who has watched every game he's ever played, Father Time has been waiting for this. I'm not saying he's done. He is definitely not the LeBron James of the 2012-13 Miami.
But Mike, I think Tiki means, is he done this series?
Yeah, well, that,
you know, he's definitely not done as a player. He's still great.
Yeah,
guys,
like immediately.
This is the most perplexing series I have watched. And you guys, like I said, I've been calling you guys for years every time he plays. I have never seen, to me, what speaks so much about this team is the body language, the chemistry, and the energy.
That's dead right.
Wanted to play basketball in 3 years. J.R. Smith has been done and should have retired 3 years ago. Kyle Korver is playing his best, but it's Kyle Korver, guys.
Yeah.
Kevin Love, first and foremost, let me say this. I have no hard feelings, no animosity towards Kevin Love, but you have been the biggest disappointment in my entire NBA fandom.
Wow.
What?
Because the pressure, the money that we're paying you,
Mike,
and the pressure that you're put under, and you have what do we have to show for it?
I'll tell you one thing you got to show for it. I'll tell you what. Him stepping out on a switch 20 feet away from the rim and not letting Steph Curry dance by him so you can get a championship.
True.
You got
that.
That
one time.
I mean, you have that.
But, Mike, don't you feel a little bit sorry for Kevin Love? He came in 2017, 18, and we're like, hey, Kev, guess what? You're playing center. Center.
Because of this reason right here, it's evident to me that not everybody can play with great players. Mm. Not everybody can play with everybody. What's more important is these players that have no aspirations of being the GOAT or being anywhere near that, they cannot handle the day-in, day-out pressure that comes with playing with LeBron.
He is expected
to excel every single time.
Yeah.
Otherwise, everybody crucifies
Mike,
him.
I got to tell you what. You're making a really good point there, Mike, because it's funny when you – sometimes we assume you look at a guy who's great, who's like the GOAT, like LeBron is, and you say, well, God, everybody around them just needs to be kind of average. They just need to do their role. They just need to do the little things that you would assume goes with being playing with a great player. But in actuality, in order to play with, and more importantly, I think gain the respect – of a guy like LeBron, who is GOAT-ish, doesn't matter, you know, GOAT of our era for sure. If in order to play with a guy like that, you also have to be trying to be the greatest player ever, especially in your little vacuum. You know what I mean? LeBron's vacuum just happens to be much bigger, and it encompasses the entire NBA and maybe the history of the NBA. But other guys need to be the greatest in their vacuum. Whatever he's talking about, Kyle Korver. What can Kyle Korver be? Right? What's his ceiling, whatever it is, he needs to be trying
to be.
Well,
he's one of the best shooters of all time.
That's
what
he
is.
So he needs to be trying to be a butt to that ceiling.
Yep.
Right? What's J.R. Smith? What could be his ceiling? You know, maybe a great defender and an occasional spot up shooter.
Yeah, but he's locked in. Yeah, I'll tell you what. If you're trailing by 12 or 13 points, just let him get loose, and sometimes he'll shoot you back in.
So he needs to be that every single time out. Yep. And I think to Mike's point, he's not.
But the problem is, they're all. Yes, I'm with you.
Yeah.
But the problem with what. That scenario, they're all being asked to play a role, or they're sitting in a seat that is one seat too close to the stage. Kyle Korver should be the seventh
that
man.
That makes sense. That makes sense.
J.R. Smith should be popping off the bench instead of being the
which
second.
Which is where he was really good, by the way.
No doubt about it. Instead of being the second and third option. You know, so that's part of the problem. And then the other thing about LeBron, and this needs to be said, just because you're unselfish doesn't mean that you're easy to play with.
True.
You know, just because you're a willing passer doesn't mean that, you know, blending or suppressing what you do well or augmenting your game is a natural, is natural.
Of course. I mean,
even if you want to do it.
Yeah.
Even if you're inclined to do it and you embrace that challenge, actually doing it might be more of a challenge. I think we just say, well, how could you not be good? You play with LeBron. He's going to pass you the ball all night.
Well, think about Russell.
Because he always has the ball.
Think about Russell Westbrook, who, again, averaged a triple-double. He gives up the rock. But do guys want to play with him, and is the team good?
Yeah.
The answer is no.
Yep.
I mean, the stat is, yeah, it's misleading, I think, is what you're getting at. It's just misleading. The fact
it's challenging.
Yeah.
And you need the right players to be around him. I got a question for you, Teak. Let's go. We'll go around the room, too. Because what, you know, what we just talked about, who was that? What was
Mike,
I'm sorry. Mike. Yeah, Mike in Texas. Mike, and other
Mike's
callers.
In Abilene. Didn't we have Abilene won yesterday?
Abilene
right?
won Def Leppard Journey.
Def Leppard
yep, good job, Abilene stepping up and showing up. I think that there are still, again, people who probably don't know basketball look at, you know, LeBron James as overrated, mm-hmm. which is just inherently unfair. It's skewed to the point where it's not even worth wasting time on that. That's just stupid analysis. But if I asked you, is he more underrated or overrated? Is
LeBron.
It the same answer?
Yeah.
In, you know, if you don't encompass the general consensus, do you think more people view him as overrated or underrated?
I'd say the general consensus is that he's overrated because he hasn't won enough championships. He's been there a lot.
You think people view him as
but
overrated?
I think he's actually underrated.
Okay, so that's a smart answer.
Yeah. I mean, I think what people say, I think we'll get calls like we got earlier today, our second call, LeBron's overrated. That's what people think, but he's actually extraordinarily underrated because of everything that he does. I mean, think about if LeBron has his average day in game
so
two.
So he scores 26, 27 points,
exactly.
You know, 9.5 rebounds,
they
something like that.
They get beat by 45.
Yeah.
Seriously.
I know.
If LeBron James has an average day of a star, if he has an average day, they're not even in the ballgame. So, I mean, the fact that he has a superhuman day, 42 and a triple-double, 41 or whatever it was, and a triple-double, and they still lose significantly.
Yep.
I mean, what else can he do?
Nothing.
He can score 80? I mean, what do you want him to do?
No, that's not about that. It's about the other guys. It's about the other players.
Agreed. And so that's what you end up discounting the fact that he's playing with far, just as you said, a seat too close to the stage players. And they're not ready, or it's not that they're ready. Some of them aren't ready, but a lot of them just aren't capable of filling the seats that they're sitting in. And as a result, LeBron has to play better than he can. And that's saying a lot because he's pretty damn great.
You know what's crazy? I just jotting down a few names like Bird, and I'm not putting Ewing in Bird's category. I mean,
no.
Obviously totally different and not even nearly as great, but Barkley, Karl Malone, like guys from our generation when we were growing, we were, you know, just really falling in love with basketball. Back, and I know the game's changed and the pace and more possessions has skewed the stats, much like steroids skewed, you know, the home run totals in baseball. Pace of play in basketball has kind of changed the way the way stats bounce off the stat sheet at us. But back in the day, some of the names I mentioned, if they scored 29 points and had 12 rebounds, and say in Ewing's case he had four blocks, or Bird had four steals, or four or five assists, I mean, we would laud them. That would be like in a playoff game against a good team. That would be close to monumental. Like, wow, what a performance! If in Game 3, at home, down 0-2, LeBron comes out and puts up 29, 12, and 4. We're like, ugh. that's our reaction.
You're right.
That's how desensitized we are to his greatness.
Agreed. That's why he's underrated.
Correct.
Yeah.
For those who know the game.
Yeah, you're right.
And not trying to hate. 1-855-212-4227. All right, so let's spend a little time on Bud's decision to join the Bucks. We're on in Green Bay. We're out there in the great state of Wisconsin. You got your coach. All right. Giannis, and what this means for that franchise moving forward, It's a really good hire, but we'll get to it a little more thoroughly coming up next year on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Better to burn out and to fade away. All right, Def Leppard right there, and Journey, two of rock's most iconic bands, touring together this summer. It's a 58-city tour, some sweet venues, Wrigley Field, Coors Field, Fenway Park, Busch Stadium, and AT&T in San Francisco, plus the Garden and the Fabulous Forum in L.A. For tickets for this incredible show, just listen to it. Crank this up. Oh, these young bucks, they just don't know. They just don't know. Not even sure my partner knows, though, about Def Leppard.
I'm more of a Journey guy.
I know you are. So it's coming up, and as is your chance to win, again, this is day number 8 here on Tiki and Tierney. LiveNation.com or Ticketmaster.com to get your tickets, but we'll give you a chance to win coming up in the 5 Eastern hour. Correct caller, just call us at 855-212-4227 for your shot to win. Brought to you by Live Nation and us, CBS Sports Radio. Complete contest rules. Just go to CBSSportsRadio.com/rules. It's my goal. I got to get behind. I think I want to get behind. I want to go and hang out backstage.
You want to get backstage?
I do.
You can make that happen.
I'm sure we could. Do they still party the way they used to?
No chance.
Well, why not? They're rock and roll artists.
Dude,
come on,
how old are they? They got to be,
what,
60?
I don't know. I don't know that Def Leppard's in their 60s.
BT, they were.
I know. You know my time frame. I know. I have that one of the few skills I have. Very adept at precisely locating time.
I'm thinking, I know Journey's not because their lead man, Arnel Pineda, is young.
Mm-hmm.
He's probably late 40s, I'd say. I don't know. I have to look that up. I have no idea.
Here's what I don't get. Like, I was just looking up. Let me see. Where is it?
Mid to late 50s, James is saying.
Yeah, like I said, south of 60.
Not quite 60.
Yeah, like I said.
I mean, at 58, are you out partying all night? And
I mean,
no.
No, I mean, the point is, not when you have to do, like, they have all, I mean, these shows, like, you don't realize, like, when you're young, because you don't really think about it, you're like, oh.
Yeah, they played for us, and then it's all good.
They go and chill. Yeah, I mean, you got to really rest your voice and your body. We've been to a bunch of concerts. I mean, they are some, you know, more than others, but, you know, physically engaged in the show. And you actually see, like, these, you know, these, they look like they're strung out, like, you know, drug addicts stretching behind stage. I don't mean Def Leppard and Journey, but I mean, you know, like, just think of the prototypical rocker. You see them, like, stretching, doing their hamstring and their quads. But this thing just goes, like, they're going May 21st, May 23rd, May 25th, May 26th, May 28th, May 30th. And then this goes all the way to October. There's not a lot of downtime. So I would imagine that they'll pick their spots to party.
Yeah.
Very few
and far
between.
When they have those two-day breaks in between, they'll have a couple pops, maybe a keg.
That's probably what they're going to start with. They're still rock and roll artists. They just might not do it as frequently. Bobby is in Washington, D.C., and Bobby's on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Bobby, what's up, bud?
Hey, guys. How you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Appreciate you, man.
Thanks, Bobby.
First-time caller. Oh, man, Tiki, I bleed blue.
I love that.
I named my second child after you. my wife wasn't having it. My first child was, I named Taylor, and it was a girl.
Oh, nice, nice. You could have named
Tika.
Was it a boy or a girl, the second one?
A boy.
You could have taken my real name. That was cool, a team. And nobody would have known.
She wasn't having it.
Nah, she wasn't having it.
I don't know, a team's a strong name.
It is.
It means fiery tempered.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I wish. Well, look, appreciate you taking my call. Oh, my goodness. Anyway, look, here's the deal with that topic.
He's getting all geeked out talking to you. Gain control of yourself, Bobby. He's a human being. He's
Bobby,
not dating.
Bobby, you should have seen BT when we talked to Patrick Ewing.
That's true. I got a little geeked,
like,
up myself. So it's all good.
So it's all good.
Uh-huh, the big fella. Okay. See, it happens to all of us.
Everybody.
Yeah. On the topic you guys were on, I don't think anyone really wants to be in the flow with LeBron.
Mm-hmm.
Because he doesn't allow people to shine. He wants to do it on himself. It's not like a Jordan issue where he knew he needed role players to win. Perfect example, he's been there for a while. They have not, you know, brought in a center to help them. He wants to win himself. I think just a couple of days ago, J.R. Smith said in the interview, right after the first game, he had a big game the first game,
mm-hmm.
He said, I don't get a chance to shoot that much. He said, I'm blessed to play with a great player like LeBron, but he doesn't let me shoot that much. He had kind of joked about it, but he doesn't let me shoot that much. And I'm like, okay, so if LeBron's controlling the floor and doesn't want anyone to shine but himself, it could cause a problem. That's what I think.
Yeah, but all that's
Kyrie did. I mean, Kyrie, he shined bright when he was there. Now, the problem was he hated it.
Well, you couldn't suppress that shine.
Yeah.
Like, you couldn't dull that up even if you tried. I mean, Kyrie, whether LeBron wanted it or not, was going to go out and just dance on people and embarrass people and do things that maybe outside of a young Isaiah Thomas we really haven't seen before. He's that good.
I don't know if it's LeBron not wanting other people to shine.
It's definitely not. That's unfair.
But I think it might be LeBron isn't trusting of these guys to do what he needs them to do.
But that's totally different.
It's different, but it could present as the same thing.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean.
I know exactly what you mean. The only thing that I would add to that is, like, you know, J.R. Smith, and I know what he said because I saw that. He said it with a smile. But I'd also say, J.R., when you're knocking down shots, you're going to get the ball.
Of course.
I mean, if there's one thing that LeBron's...
Like the closeout game against Toronto. He's 6-6.
Boom. He's going to feed you. If you're hot, if you're sniping, he's going to get you. No matter who you are, you know, I mean, just think of all the secondary and just below, I mean, basically the names that just kind of melt into the NBA encyclopedia, you know, names you forget.
Yeah.
Some of them had to play prominent roles with, like Boobie Gibson. I mean, that's just a name that most people forget about, right?
I don't remember that name, yeah.
I mean, most people forget about him, but there were moments when he was hot. Boom, Mo Williams, boom. I mean, these were guys that LeBron would feed.
Well, you forget, like, even like a guy who's current with the Bucks, Dellavedova, when he was there.
Ah, Dellavedova. Right?
You forget he was there for a year.
He's tough.
He was tough.
Speaking of the Bucks, I love the hire. Mm-hmm. And listen, this came up with you and I the other day. And the reason why I thought it made a lot of sense for Budenholzer to take, although I don't think the Raptors actually offered the job. I know they spoke. I don't think they actually came with a concrete offer. But obviously he was firmly in their crosshairs, but he elects to go to the Milwaukee Bucks. And I love it. Been around for 5 years, got a winning record. He's played a lot of playoff games for with a roster that, quite frankly, overachieved, and I think the direct correlation is coaching. But the reason why this makes the most sense in the world, you know, I mean, if you go to Toronto and just say if you win 49 regular season games, I mean, that is a precipitous drop from the season.
Yeah, where they won 59.
And the perception, boom, that's a significant drop. Now, you could also say, well, what if he goes there and he's the one who gets him over the hop and they finally get to the Eastern Conference Finals? It's a different conversation.
It's true.
You think he's taking Kyle Lowry to the Eastern Conference Finals?
Well, if LeBron leaves the East, maybe. Or
I don't
goes
know
somewhere
about
else.
That. I think the Pacers are going to be good. I know the Celtics are going to be good.
There's
the 76ers are going to be really good.
That's a good question. That's a good point.
It's not happening.
Yeah, where else do they hit their – I mean, it was a LeBron wall that they couldn't jump over. What wall comes next?
You're Boston,
right.
Philly.
You're right. And look, the bottom line is your team is just isn't good enough. It's just they haven't brought in the right pieces to make them – viable for a conference and then ultimately an NBA championship. They have two really good players and some great, you know, pieces to accent those players, but not nearly enough to be good enough. And so if you're a coach and you're already high and the only place for you to go is down, it doesn't make sense for a guy who did the exact same thing in Atlanta. And I'm just talking about from a selfish standpoint, from Coach Bud's perspective. He got Atlanta to a high, and then over the last couple of years – most of it by, you know, organizational intent have just slid. And so he's been losing or trending the wrong way. I think with the Bucks, he can easily make them trend upwards.
Yep.
And it's just going to make him look better as a coach. And at some point, you just don't want to be that coach. It's on a team that coaches teams that lose. And I think I think that was a big part of why, you know, conversations with Toronto happened, but it ideally wasn't perfect for Bud.
You know, I was just looking up on Hoops Hype. I was checking their salary cap situation. They were a little bit higher. They were top 10 in salaries this year.
The Bucks were?
That
surprised
struck me as odd as soon as I saw that. I hear you. Giannis is obviously getting paid, and that's no surprise. I mean, Bledsoe's making $15 million next season, which isn't terrible, but it's, you know, you tack that on, it's going to show up. Middleton.
But that's a traded contract.
Yep. Middleton is going to make...
Well, he's a player. I mean, whatever that number is,
you don't
it's
mind.
Worth it.
I agree. You don't mind paying players, but it adds up. I mean, Henson's making $11 million next year. Middleton's making $13 million. You got $10.5 million. Snell's making $10.6 million. Dellavedova's making $10 million. Jabari Parker's got a qualifying offer of almost $8 million. I mean, Thon Maker's getting up to that $4 or $5 million range. It started to creep up. DJ Wilson's making almost three. Spencer Hawes, for some reason, they're still paying him a couple of million dollars. What are they exactly? I want to get the number right. I think they were seventh this year. Hold on, Teague. I'm sorry. Because if you asked me,
I wouldn't have guessed that.
No, no way.
Because I feel like they're younger than – I think they feel like they're too young to be that
I'm with
high.
They were seventh. They were seventh this year.
That's pretty high.
And the teams in front of them, Cleveland, Golden State, Oklahoma City, they tacked on Melo's contract. Miami, you know, they got some vets and they got some big contracts there. The Wizards with Wall and Beal and some other players that aren't cheap. New Orleans.
Gortat,
of course, among them. And Milwaukee 7. So, wow. So they're going to have to be smart because they don't have a ton of room. I thought they'd have a little more. All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 1-855-212-4227. And it's brought to you by GEICO. Hey, everybody, quick way to save money. Switch to GEICO. Whether it's homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance, get it all at GEICO.com. Let's get Axe Update. Rick Bucher's going to join us coming up next, and we'll go from there. So Buke is in the house. He joins us after Rich's update, which is right now. Here's Ack. Okay, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. Going to get with our buddy Rick Bucher coming up in a sec, see what Buke thinks about the Western Conference Series. He'll be out there. Oracle, it's going to be – that place is just – boy, that place gets loud. Mm-hmm. That place is – even before the Warriors got really good, that was such an underrated venue. It really was. First up, though, time for the injury report brought to you by the Salt Institute. We take a look at the latest injuries. And speaking of the Warriors and Oracle, Steph Curry kind of scuffled a bit both ends of the court against the Rockets, but he did say the knee is okay and it's not to blame. Last night, of course, Steph just 16 points with a plus-minus – minus 20. Nobody in the starting five had anything that was worth, you know.
It wasn't the worst.
Actually, I think that was among the best of the starters, crazily. Right. All right, Teague, aside from water, salt's one of the most common food ingredients that we consume, and that's no accident. Sodium is required to make every cell in your body function. Everything's better with a little salt. Find out why at littlesalt.org. Okay, obviously a very busy Thursday, Teague and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, after some really alarmingly bad phone calls. You guys picked it up and raised us out of the, you know, almost the unemployment line. They were so bad. Oh, good God, those calls were horrific. Man, they were bad. As bad as we've gotten in a long time.
Just bad
takes. Just the premise.
Just bad takes.
One was trade Steph Curry. That's the first call we take today. Trade Steph Curry.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one is that LeBron James is incredibly overrated. You can't do a show when that happens.
I mean, in context, maybe there was a little bit of...
Don't give them a lifeline.
LeBron James is overrated relative to Michael Jordan. Maybe.
Maybe we could engage in that, and I'm not even prepared to do that, but exactly. I hear you, man. All right, let's get to our buddy Buke, Rick Bucher, NBA writer for Bleacher Report. He's been around the scene for a long time, years with ESPN. Just a sharp mind. Bleacher Report, lucky to have him. Does his thing on Sirius XM as well. Buke, what's going on, buddy? How you been?
I'm good. I don't think LeBron James is overrated. I think he's misunderstood.
Okay, go ahead.
That's what they always say.
Why do you say that?
Here's the thing. This is what's difficult about assessing LeBron, and especially anytime we start making comparisons with guys from different eras. And Michael Jordan is from a different era.
Mm-hmm.
Let's face it. The game was played different. The rules were different. It's just different. And so I think we start there as far as the difficulty and the challenges that we have. The other problem is that when we look at the numbers that LeBron James gets in today's game, and we look at a game like Game 2 where he puts up a ton of numbers, and we're thinking, if he just had more help, if he just had more around him, it's not his fault. Well, the reality is that LeBron has created his universe as it is. He has created a team where literally everybody depends on him. Mm-hmm. So if you are going to put yourself in that position, as he has, then aren't you responsible for the performance of those around him and what kind of shots they're getting and how effective they are?
Oh, that's interesting.
When I look at Game 2 and I look where he operated from, first of all, when he's shooting threes and knocking down threes and he has a big quarter, I'm not sweating that.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, because with that team, it's not creating anything for anybody else. If you had Kyrie Irving, if you had Deion Waiters, if you had dribble drive guys and he's knocking down threes, now you're opening up space for them. who's dribble driving on that team as a result of having to go out and guard LeBron James 25 feet from the basket? Nobody.
Yeah, they're all standing out there with him.
The only way he creates shots for other guys is if he plays below the free throw line. And he chose – now, if he chooses not to do that against Marcus Morris, I understand that. But he was matched up because of the lineup change by the Cavs. He was matched up against Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. Those are two guys he has to take down on the block and punish. And not only can he get buckets over them down low, but now that's going to create space and shots for J.R. Smith and Kyle Korver in a way that LeBron James operating from the perimeter simply does not create. So I look at his numbers, and I just see it as a false narrative in Game 2 that LeBron did everything that he could do, and he just didn't get enough help. If we're going to give him the credit for having the greatest basketball IQ on the planet, then he has to know what I just saw. And what I'm telling you, pretty much everybody in the NBA understands about how the game is played.
Mm-hmm. Buke always comes at it from an interesting angle. That's why we like having him on the show. Rip Bucher, who, by the way, just gave us a three-minute answer, didn't even say hi. He just launches in. How are you, Buke?
Short. Yeah. We need to get to it. This yeah, is good TV, point. Man. We need to make some money here.
Just tell us that Steph Curry's not getting traded, like our other caller who called and said.
This is what I like about that wrinkle.
Oh,
like,
please.
If you were, first of all, no, you don't trade Steph Curry because – while if you looked at it from a talent perspective, you could say, well, okay, who's the weak link here? Who's the least of the three-way players among the big four? It's Steph. Let's face it. It's Steph. And that's the same way James Harden. You know, I love how we're focusing on Steph Curry can't play D. Anybody notice Dame Harden can't stop anybody?
Yeah, but Buke, we've always known that.
I understood, but Steph gives you every effort that he can. The reason they won Game 1 is because every time they got the switch, Harden, as soon as they got the switch, and I've seen this trick before, Greg Popovich did this to a Mike D'Antoni team when they had the seven seconds or less. They would switch on the pick and roll, and suddenly you'd have Tony Parker guarding Amari Stoudemire, and 7 seconds or less went out the window. They were like, whoa. Tony Parker trying to guard Amari Stoudemire? Let's back it up. Let's post him up. Let's slow down. Let's get the ball into him. And it took him out of their rhythm. You saw that in Game 1. They were so hot on getting Chris Paul against Kevon Looney and Harden against Steph Curry. They stopped everything else. The only difference in Game 2 was they didn't, like, just overemphasize trying to take advantage of those particular matchups. They'd attack, but then if they didn't get something clean, we're going to swing, we're going to allow somebody else to get involved. That was the only difference between Game 1 and Game 2. The ISO, people misunderstand what ISO basketball is about. It's not like we put the ball in this guy's hands and he attacks and he's taking the shot one way or the other, pulling up. No, you're just attacking that matchup and forcing the defense to collapse, or you're either scoring, you're getting a shot, or you're forcing the defense to collapse and swinging it and trusting the rest of the teammates off of that action. And they didn't do that in Game 1. Those two had to work. Getting back to Curry, he made Harden work in Game 1. He may not have stopped him, but he made Harden really work. And that's all I can ask of a Steph Curry in that situation. He's physically not going to be able to stay in front of Harden on a consistent basis. I just need to make
it work. But Rick, is it because he's really compromised now, or because his strength, even if Steph Curry's fully healthy, he can just kind of barrel through him and roll through him? Is it because he's compromised right now?
Yeah, he's got a size advantage.
Yeah, no, I got you.
No, he's talking about an injury.
And I mean, look, Harden is as good. He's right there with Kyrie Irving in terms of ball handler, getting you off balance. He can shoot over Steph. Steph's not going to be able to get in his viewfinder and affect that shot, even if he stays up on him. Yep. So I don't think he's hurt. Do I think he's coming back and still trying to get his legs under him and get his game back? He missed it. Look, he missed what, 6 weeks? This is kind of training camp for him all over again, and you're having to do it at a time where the game's being played twice as fast and twice as hard. So I don't look, when we saw him with the sprained ligament when he got it in the playoffs and he played in the finals and they ended up losing and he couldn't go by Kevin Love, that's what told me, you know what, he's not right. He is compromised. He's going by guys offensively. So I'm not seeing enough of his game being compromised.
Gotcha.
I think that this is, whether you want to call it rust or conditioning or getting back on the same page with his teammates, I don't think this is a physical issue other than it. I don't think it's an injury issue. I think it's a conditioning issue.
Mm. Yeah. Okay. You know, it's one thing, Buick, to talk about him getting by guys. It's also somebody's always waiting for him when he gets by. Like James Harden can't cover him on the perimeter.
Right.
But he gets down to the lane and someone's standing there and he can't do these trick shots off the glass and have them fall. You know what I mean? So
right.
And the
other part is that, you know, I think that this, a lot of how this series goes and how these games go are going to depend on the perimeter guys. It's why Nick Young's getting run, because you want as many three-point shooters on the floor in both cases so that those guys have more space. When Steph is on the floor with Draymond Green and Andre Iguodala, it's a little bit easier to shrink the floor on him because you can sag off of those guys. They really don't want to shoot threes. And quietly, the biggest issue in game two was not Steph Curry. It was Draymond Green. That was as an underwhelming a playoff performance as I've seen from Draymond. Didn't score, just wasn't the same factor in a multitude of ways, wasn't the playmaker. The things that he does that make him special and that make the Warriors special, I saw those in limited supply in game two. And I would fully expect going back home, games three and game four, you will see the Draymond Green that we're used to seeing.
You better. Talking to Rick Bucher, NBA writer, Bleacher Report, SiriusXM. He does a show every night as well.
Yeah.
And Rick is with us here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
Rick, I'm sure we'll see in game three an adjustment by Steve Kerr. Who knows what it will be, because he's always coming up with something. But are we likely to see from the Houston Rockets side the same kind of aggressiveness from Eric Gordon? I mean, he was Warrior-esque, right?
Yeah.
You got me out here about 27, 28 feet. I'm just going to shoot it and knock it down. We're not going to see that every night, I don't think.
It's a lot easier to take those shots when you're an ancillary player or coming off the bench when you're leading by 14 than it is if you're down by three or you're up by five. Especially if you're a guy who doesn't get to take a lot of shots or is dependent on what shots that you get. So this is where I think this is sort of the success of the Rockets for the better part of the year, is where this could come back and boomerang on them. Last night was the kind of game that they were used to playing, because that's the kind of game that those are the kind of leads that they enjoyed all season long. Game one, they were completely out of their element. And the game one is more of what we're used to seeing in how playoff games go. The number of games that the number was ridiculous. The percentage of time that they led by 10 or more points over the course of the season was just, I mean, it's something ridiculous, like 70-80%. I mean, it's insane. And they're not going to have that. And so the confidence of a P.J. Tucker and a Trevor Ariza and an Eric Gordon to take and make big shots. And by the way, one of the adjustments, I'll be interested to see, you can cut off the swing pass to the corner and make P.J. Tucker either back cut on the baseline or force Trevor Ariza, whoever that wing is that's swinging it to the corner, force them to the middle rather than the baseline. And that's the adjustment I'm curious to see, if Steve Kerr has them kind of jumping that passing lane and forcing it the other way. Because unless P.J. Tucker is taking corner threes, open corner threes, I'm not sure I see how he is going to score at the level that he did the last game.
Buke, good work, buddy. We got to hit a hard break, man.
Yes, you do. Absolutely do. You got to pay the bills. That's why I didn't have time to say hello.
Hey, listen.
But I do have time to say goodbye.
And nobody threatens a hard break like this guy. Thanks a lot, Buke. Appreciate you buddy.
It.
You know that. Rick Bucher. Played soccer at Dartmouth.
Did he really?
Might not know that. Yeah, no doubt.
Now we know where he gets his basketball knowledge from.
He loves basketball. He's a trench guy. He's been doing it for a long time. Hey, the PGA Tour on CBS heads to Dallas, Texas. my in-laws out there might actually, they've gone to this in the past. It's the world's best take on a new course this year. It's the beautiful Trinity Forest Golf Club. Sergio and Jordan Spieth lead the charge at the AT&T Byron Nelson. So, Fred, I don't know if you're watching the show now, but if you are, get out there and watch it this weekend. Coming up on CBS. Third hour coming up with Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.